and requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Personnel Committee will meet on the second Monday of each month at 6 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to broadcast the 31st Annual Waterfront Blues Festival, taking place from July 4th through 7th at Waterfront Park in Portland. KBOO will be broadcasting the festival from noon to about 10 p.m. every day, and will be broadcasting throughout the state on Oregon Community Media radio stations from Ashland and Astoria to Warm Springs. Again, that's the 31st annual broadcast of the Waterfront Blues Festival, taking place July 4th through 7th, noon to 10 p.m. or so, every night at Waterfront Park in Portland and on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Yes, yes, y'all. It's 9 o'clock in the a.m. on Friday at KBOO Portland, which means it's time for Pacific Underground. This month, musician Joe Kai plays live and talks about his upcoming shows and his experience becoming a U.S. citizen. There's more, and I'll tell you about it after the show, so stay tuned.
Good morning, good morning. It is, as you just heard, it's time for Pacific Underground, your local and only show for APIs on the radio here on the West Coast.
What's up?
That's right, representing out of Portland, Oregon. Good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing? I'm Jenna, and I'm joined this morning with everyone. Let's go around. Say hello.
I'm Tabitha Teo.
Hi, and I'm Jake Vermas.
And today, we are joined with very special guest, musician, producer, artivist, all the things. Joe Kai, good morning, Joe.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming in this morning. If you are unfamiliar with Joe Kai, why aren't you? Like, oh my God, yeah. Tune into the genius.
I like holes and staying inside of them. So.
Yeah, but then he crawled out this morning out of his Joe Kai hole. And what we all love about Joe is that he is a violinist, guitarist, mandolinist. Is it somebody who plays the mandolin? Are you a mandolinist?
Yeah, yeah.
There we go, mandolinist.
Mm. Singer.
Singer, all the things.
Many stringed instruments. Mm.
And he does the live looping.
Driver of the bandwagon. Just hop on.
Joe's here this morning to play some live music for us and talk about all everything he's got coming up. For a man who lives apparently in a hole, he gets a lot of stuff done. He's going around. He does a lot of the artivism. We're going to talk a lot about that, and we're going to talk about his experience and being an immigrant here to the United States, and what a process it is to try to become a U.S. citizen, which
good
you're
times.
Still in that process of that, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. Must be fun.
I'm 30 now, and it started at age 6, so.
Wow.
A lot of chapters.
Sounds like about the right speed for the United States, and we'll talk all about that. But so, Joe, why don't you just open up by playing something for us?
Sure.
Thank you.
through that door. Why didn't I realize? But I should have known, have known. Da, 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 da. So where are you? Why did you go? Where are you?
So for those that weren't lucky enough to be in the studio, that first part, Joe was strumming the violin like a guitar.
Yeah, there's actually a live video feed that is happening.
Oh, is there?
BT Dubs on Instagram at Joe Kye, J-O-E-K-Y-E.
Look at that. So go on to the Instas right now. You can see what's going on because, yeah, if you are just tuning in, you are listening to Pacific Underground, and our special live music guest today is Joe Kye. And what you're hearing, which is like, I wish everyone could like put their visuals through the radio, is that you're hearing Joe doing some live looping for us. And so is that song is off of your latest album, Migrants?
Yeah, it's called Bam Bam's Lullaby. And it is about my parents who live in South Korea right now, and the geographic distance that I have to deal with, as well as the kind of ever widening cultural and linguistic gap. Yeah. So, and then, but it's also, but Bam Bam is the name of my dog. And so
Aww,
it's kind of
cute.
Yeah. It's wrapped up. I gestured at Tabitha in order to acknowledge her Chihuahua bag and her, I would assume, apparent love for dogs.
Pacific Underground fans know that.
I don't think there's anyone that's out there that doesn't know I'm not obsessed with Chihuahuas.
Unless you're a new fan, in which case,
you've just
welcome to Tabitha World.
Yeah, welcome to Tabitha.
Well, and welcome to Pacific Underground.
Nice. Well, Bam Bam is the opposite of Chihuahua. She's a 100-pound Akita.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But I kind of, I imagine the song from her perspective. What does she feel like when I leave the house? You know, does she cry? Does she pine? Does she yearn in the same way that I do for my parents? So,
aww.
Can we talk a little bit about that? About
sure.
You know, so your parents right now, you're saying, are in South Korea. You're here, mm-hmm. but it's not like you came here by yourself. Can you talk maybe a little bit about your experience coming here, when you came over here, and what that kind of timeline in your life has been like?
Sure. So I was born in South Korea. I'm going to turn the reverb down on my voice just a little so that it doesn't sound like I'm in a bathtub. And hopefully I will remember to turn it back on. so I was born in South Korea in 1987, moved to the U.S. When I was 6 years old, and yeah, it was kind of a crazy journey. I was born Kae-hyun, Kae being, which was then mingled into Kai, and then Hyun, which is my given Korean name. And then when I moved here, I was given the name Joseph, one of the first immigrants that we meet in all of the kind of Ibrahimic religions. Moved to Boston. That was my first landing. I remember first grade, I was walking. You're obviously not in first grade, sorry. There's somebody here with us in
studio.
Yeah,
we got a kid in the room. We got a Kaboo kid.
Hey, welcome.
Yay. Hi. Live audience member.
Yeah. In first grade, I was walking back, and I was so sad because I couldn't speak with anyone. I love talking. So my parents tell me the whole walk home, I just wept. I just cried and cried. Yeah, so then ESL for 6 months, and then we ended up moving to Seattle starting from third grade on. The reason why we moved here is because my dad, who was a private high school teacher in South Korea, they were being asked to sign non-union clauses. So, this was the age of puppethead democratically elected presidents who, mm-hmm. Whose campaigns, of course, were basically, completely funded and by the United States. And these were some ruthless democratically elected presidents who wanted to make sure that they could seize and maintain power.
But don't say dictator.
No.
Right?
No.
We can't say that word.
Right. Totalitarian democratically elected president.
Yeah. Those are the people on the other side.
Right. Funny, yeah. It's funny how history recycles itself. So he was asked to sign non-union clauses, decided that he was instead going to go into academia. And the way he sought to do that was by coming to the United States to get his PhD here, which would hopefully help him get a job back in Korea. So he came here as an international student. The great thing about international students is that we invite them in to study at our prestigious universities, of course, pay full tuition. And then we expect them to take all that knowledge and then get the heck out of our country. Mm-hmm. And that goes for all the dependents. So I came here when I was 6. My mom, my sister, who was 3 at the time, and none of us were also allowed to work. So, growing up, things were kind of tough. We had, a family of 4, a TA salary growing up in Seattle in the 90s.
Wow.
So, my mom worked illegally at a teriyaki restaurant. Corrupt, how dare she work to try and put food on our table and pay for our rent.
The teriyaki industrial complex.
Teriyaki industrial complex. I love that.
It's real.
Yeah. So much evil in those spaces. And money, apparently. So
they don't ask questions.
No questions. Yeah. Don't ask, don't tell. Yeah, so that's how I grew up. I applied to college as an international student, went as an international student, and then got a job on a work visa, which is an H-1B, teaching high school English as a private high school English teacher. That's what I was for 4 years out of college. Every year I had to renew my status. So every year I also had to leave the country, go to a U.S. consulate there and get my visa stamped and renewed and then come back. And then in 2012, I got married to my partner, Natasha, who is awesome. And I got a permanent residency green card through that union.
But the years before that, sorry to interrupt.
No, not at all.
You were in the queue for, permanent residency, and it just took so long. Right?
Right.
The bureaucracy.
Well, I got to apply in 20... So you can only apply if a employer, after you've had a work visa for 3 to 5 years, and then a employer has to say, I will commit to paying extra money, $3,000 to $5,000 in legal fees and registration fees.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
Oh, wow.
It's not at all. So, all the people who are like, oh, these people who are just as good... are taking all of our jobs. No, I mean, an employer really has to go out of the way to say, I approve for and vouch for this specific employee who has skills with a Z. Skills
right.
with a Z.
Mm-hmm. Skills with a Z. It's the extraordinary alien. You're got a superpower or something.
Yeah. Right. And so, it took a long time. And now, after I've gotten my permanent residency in 2013, I'm still waiting on my U.S. citizenship because U.S. Customs and Immigration misprinted my green card. So they sent me the wrong one. Then I had to send it back. But that was also the time that I was supposed to be applying for citizenship. So
More bureaucracy.
And also, I think another, you know, peeling off the layer of like, oh, like Homeland Security and U.S. Customs, like we never do anything wrong. And no, it's like any other institution.
Mm-hmm. That's so unfair.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what kind of stress that's been like in your adult life where you're having to constantly be reapplying, and it's not always something that's guaranteed. Just because you got it before, you're having to go to these consulates, and what that means to have to uproot your life. I can't even imagine what that's like. You know, as someone who left South Korea as like a child, do you feel like that's your homeland? Like it's got to be somewhere in between, or?
Yeah, definitely the in between. And, you know, I've made peace with it. But certainly, you know, throughout most of my life, I've had a lot of issues surrounding my identity. Especially, you know, I didn't feel comfortable completely claiming my identity as an Asian American. Even that felt there was something wrong with that, because I do have that personal immigration experience. So 1.5 is what they call it. But that's, you know, it's like I get a 0.5. I'm not first generation. I'm not second generation. Yeah. I don't even get a whole number. I just like I'm somewhere kind of in between those things, which I'm, like I said, I'm comfortable now. I don't mind that. To anchor my identity in a place that is in between can be challenging, and it can be personally difficult. But ultimately, I think when you have that sense of self-empowerment, it's the best place, because it's the place that you fit in by definition.
Well, it's your truth.
Right.
It's your reality. You know, if you follow Jokai at Jokai, J-O-E-K-Y-E, on Facebook or on the Instagram, which I totally follow you, I remember it was just like a month ago or so where you were talking about that having to be somewhere in the middle, because you were talking about the draft, the South Korean draft. And so you can talk about that. Like, if that's an example of like being between.
Sure. So the Korean military has a draft for all able-bodied Korean men. And it's a 2.5 year draft, so you have to dedicate 2.5 years of your youth to this military corporation.
Oh no, don't call it out like it is.
No. Kabu. So I mean, it's been a constant. So while I'm also constantly trying to negotiate my status and ability to stay in this country that I call my own, I've also had to make sure to keep Korea at bay as far as the draft is concerned. So they're constantly hounding me down, like, we won't renew your passport, which I need if I'm going to go and renew on a on a yearly basis, unless you apply and jump through all of these hoops in order to to prove that you will not betray your people. On the one hand, right, my country of birth, you know, I do feel a great pride in. In middle school, when we would play lunchtime football, you know, two-hand touch, my friends would call me the Great Korean Hope, because you know, I couldn't make it as any other position but possibly a punter. He could be a punter.
Living an Asian tiger lifestyle, right?
Yeah. Rawr. I embraced that. Like, I embraced my otherness. My first AOL Instant Messenger screen name was Asian Short Kid at, you know, AOL.com. Of course, I did insist on spelling it correctly, A-S-I-A-N, not this A-Z-N.
Oh, you didn't A-Z-N yourself out with all the X's behind it.
It's been a constant kind of negotiation with the actual institutional bodies of the countries that are pulling and pushing at me, but then also a personal kind of struggle and journey to actually define myself within and without those two entities.
Also, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Pacific Underground, and we're talking to Jokai today, musician, artist, producer.
Getting real.
So many things. Joe's so freaking talented and like the busiest man in America. At least I think, because when I follow your, like, I follow you on the socials, and I'm
so
just
many
like,
things.
Where is he? Oh my gosh, he's doing all the things and talking about all the stuff, you know, more than just playing music and putting his story out that way as a creative. You know, he's very much speaking out and producing for others and helping others bring their voices too. Mm. You know, so I know you have a bunch of stuff coming up.
Sure.
What's your kind of next big event that you're doing?
July 27th. That's my next Portland show. It'll be at Jack London Review. I'll have the trio there. Catherine Feeney, who's an amazing singer-songwriter, will be opening. I'll be giving a sneak peek of my upcoming music video.
There'll be
a heretofore, is that the right word?
Just go with it. Okay. It is now.
Heretofore.
It is a KBOO.
heretofore unperformed in Portland.
So you heard it here, folks.
Yeah. I mean, I do plan on playing it here, actually. So you'll hear it on the radio waves, but to get the real live feel.
Yeah.
Actually, you were talking about how you grew up in Seattle and, you know, you've been went to college over Yale, all that stuff. Well, how long have you been here in Portland?
I moved here in 2016. So I was teaching high school English in Seattle. My wife Natasha she got a residency at UC Davis Medical Center, so we moved down to Sacramento for 3 years. We were there from 2013 to 2016. Then we were like, yo, it's dry. People are too happy here.
Were you watching the show Portlandia?
Yeah. I did.
It's too sunny. I just need some miserable people around me. I need some rain.
Right. And too much diversity here in California. Let's get out of this. Let's get out of this mess.
We want to see some pale people.
Yeah. So I moved back. We chose Portland. Which was close enough to Seattle, but also, you know, a little bit more. I'm making this
as
gesture.
An Oregon resident. I have to say, boo.
Oh,
to Seattle.
To what?
Oh, you moving to Portland?
Oh. I feel so welcome here. Thanks, Tabitha.
It's my job.
Anytime anyone comes from California, it's like she's got to give the.
It's true. I always tell people, I'm like, I'm a Seattleite. Let's not mention the California chapter of my life.
Just a stopover, right?
Well, you're POC, so it's okay.
Thank you. Yes, we need more of that in Portland.
Yes, we do.
I mean, at the same time, Sacramento was a beautiful place. Like, that's where I started music. You know, in 2013, I transitioned, and they were so welcoming. And I mean, Sacramento, to be in that space that is so diverse, it was good times.
So I kind of wonder how, you know, Portland, we're always talking about, oh, it's such a white city. But I know at the same time, we also talk about how interesting that is. It's very different than a lot of the other places. You know, if you compare Portland to Seattle or even Sacramento, you know, the Bay Area, Los Angeles, when you come here, because, you know, I wasn't raised here. I was, you know, I'm from Southern California. When I came here, I found it to be really politically interesting because I'd never lived in such a white space. And I found that in creating art and music and that sort of stuff, it created a much different conversation because you were suddenly kind of faced with this environment that you hadn't had before. There's a lot of otherizing, but it also created, at least for me, a very deep look inward because there wasn't as much community outward that you could like identify with. You're like, okay, well, so like, who am I? And I'm wondering if you've had that, like an experience from just being in Portland.
Yeah. So I moved here, like I said, in the middle of 2016, which was also, you know, the meat of the campaign.
That year I tried to not think of.
Wow. Right. Sorry to resurface that.
Let's talk
warning about
on that. Way back in the day.
Yeah. So it was an oppressive time, just in terms of social media and kind of the ether. And the cultural artifacts that were being broadcast into our worlds. And then to also move into, just demographically speaking, a much wider space, space was also, I think, personally, emotionally, just unmooring. I took a lot of time those first 6 months to do a lot of meditation, to do a lot of reading, and to really center myself. And then creatively, I would say also, it changes a little bit. I mean, I think as a creative, you're constantly struggling between a happy struggle between creating for yourself and making sure to listen to yourself, but also feeding the people, especially if you are on the side of artivism and trying to create for the people. Who are the people in your local community? What do they need? And how can you, as a creative artivist, give unto that need? And so, yeah, I would say things have changed as far as, because the demographic has changed. I think I'm talking about different things. I am appealing to a different audience. It's still pushing in the same direction and trying to create a inclusive and progressive society and community. But it's going to be very different if I'm addressing all API people, if the whole audience is API versus a audience that is, you know, white Portlandia.
Mm-hmm.
And preaching actually, to the choir.
And we actually met through an artist activating kind of space through Apano's AMP Arts and Media
AMP
project. And
shout out to Apano.
That's how I first heard about Pacific Underground.
And so I was going to ask what brought you to, you know, that kind of organizing space, and if you have any projects coming up with them.
Yeah, so I have a... What brought me to that space? I think Candace brought me to that space.
Shout out to Candace.
Candace, what?
Kita.
Yeah, I mean, I think in such a demographically, at least surface level, different space, it's important to have those places of solidarity. It's important to have a place where you don't have to teach. Nothing wrong with teaching. I think that, you know, sidebar, the outrage machine is just as destructive. And I think on, you know, absolutely, for POC, it's really important to find that place of self-centering. We all have our moments of defensiveness and anger for sure. But yeah, I think teaching is a good thing. Teaching is a good thing. But in such a space where there's a constant expectation to explain yourself, it's important to have a family space where you don't have to explain crap.
Mm-hmm.
We're on radio. I can't swear, right?
Yeah, you shouldn't be swearing.
I shouldn't
radio
be swearing. On radio. Okay.
FCC might fine us all.
So why don't we get back more into Joe's art and creativity and, you know, everything that he's doing here in Portland, because that means if you moved here in 2016, then your 2018 album Migrants was, I'm guessing, a lot written here in Portland from your experience, all that stuff. So let's hear some more off that album.
For sure. This is actually the upcoming single that's not even on that album.
Oh,
what?
God.
So we're getting to hear it first?
Just a little tease.
Oh my gosh.
The song is called Daughter. It's for, I think, this was right in the heart of the Me Too movement. You know, as a eldest male son in a more traditional family, how do I reconcile my own privileges, recognize those privileges, and then also try to empathize with the women in my life that have not had those privileges. So, yeah.
Maybe we should also remind you about the reverb.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that.
Oh, hey.
JY in the house.
Super live radio. Trying to remember things, being a good host.
Oh, that's too much.
Okay.
Ooh. Hi. Ooh. handle it. Dinner's filled with spam and ketchup to the neighbor. Little he knows about the world he left behind. Receiver, hang up the phone if someone calls and you don't recognize. Her lullaby is caught up in the memory of the past goodbye. And spilling your guts to no one on the floor except your mother. Filling your lungs with all the gases of your noble father. Taking it back cause it was never yours to start it over. To your grandma's house she loved but never knew she had a daughter. If I could be better and cooler and taller, I'd make it up to you. If only you could have seen under my letter, I would sit next to you. Stayed in tune until the teacher told me I don't have it. I gave it to the student, he forgot his dinner blessing. Sit for the lesson, I can promise if you're patriotic. Please don't leave this country that became a prison and a habit. I play for you, but mostly me, I need an answer. How can you root a tree that never had a chance to water? So let me drink to glory days locked in the distant future. Yes, it's getting cold, the crowds are hungry, and it's getting darker. If I could be better and cooler and taller, I would sit next to you. If only you could have seen under my letter, I would sit next to you.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Pacific Underground, and that was Joe Kai doing some live looping for us. And what was the name of that one again?
Daughter.
Daughter. Ooh.
Reverb.
He was in the cave.
Daughter. I'm back.
Welcome back.
And that's that was a preview.
Mm-hmm.
A new single.
Yeah.
Ooh. Starting it off with the acapella tip that time.
Yeah.
Is that what you're going to make the music video about?
No, the music video is actually for a song called Stick on Me.
Okay.
Made with Josh Young, who's an amazing film director, filmmaker, writer, who actually also moved to Portland recently from SoCal.
So. I support it.
It's the good people. We just need to bring the good
reinforcements.
People here,
Seth, come on. You have to admit that the more people that come in from outside of Portland, the food's getting better.
That's true.
The right. API food's getting better.
We do need more POC people. Okay.
We need to roll out the welcome mat.
POC people can move here. White people cannot.
Oh, being cable bold today, Tabitha.
Well, Josh is definitely white.
But you know what? He lifts our people.
Yeah, he's an ally. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. And he has the feels. He has the empathy. He has the justice orientation.
So it sounds like he's a fellow artivist.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know, we keep using that word, artivist.
I know. I've never heard that term before.
So like, how do you define that, Joe?
Sure. Culture is all around us. And culture, I would say, is what makes us feel and associate specific visual frames with different mindsets. And if we are going to move forward, it you know, as much as policies can be good and push us, you know, in certain directions, it's really at it's at the end of the behavior, the worst of the actions that we're punishing, and hopefully that will push us, you know, towards progressivism, towards an inclusive society. But if culture is about expression, and if we're going to move forward into a communal sense of belonging and diversity that includes people from outside of whatever your tribe is, then we have to make sure that we invite others to create alongside us. That to me is artivism. How can we create sounds, works, thoughts, expressions that specifically try to bring people who are outside of your sphere in alongside you, and not just as a token, right? Not as we have someone who is API and therefore we're diverse. But no, if you and your culture, the culture that you are speaking from, has been overrepresented, how can you take a step back and authentically invite participation and leadership from outside of your tribe? That to me is why I create music. A lot of it is therapy and making sense of my issues. But when you go to a performance of mine, I also tell stories, and I tell stories about immigration, and express express in a way that I think and I hope pushes us towards something that is more evolved than what we see today.
I have a question. In your 20 plus journey to be a U.S. citizen, have you been playing the violin the whole time?
From fourth grade on, Seattle Public School had an awesome, music education program where you could choose an instrument and you could play it and they'll give you lessons. I remember really being intrigued by the saxophone. And then all of a sudden, when the time to make decisions came along, there was just a lot of violin CDs in the house. So I feel like I got Jedi mind tricked by my parents.
Subliminal messaging. So
like, yeah, like you can play whatever you want. Sarah Chang.
They didn't go the Tiger Mom route where like you have to play this. It was more subtle, right?
Yeah.
It was like
at least
do what you want.
At least for me, but seeing. With the limited resources, right, and with teachers who were generous enough to give me scholarships, for my sister, she did not have those choices oftentimes. It was, Joe did this, he has this path, therefore...
You have to do something different?
No, you have to do something
follow.
The same. Because,
share resources.
Right, because, exactly, so-and-so cheaper. Is giving this guy a discount, Joe a discount, so let's do this, and we already have a relationship with the violin rental place, so do this. Yeah, sorry.
That's such
I'm working through it. I'm working through
eldest, it. Eldest son of you, sir. Making the choices for everybody.
Right. It wasn't mine.
It was like that with me, except for clarinet. So,
I love clarinet.
They didn't play for very long.
Oh, okay. But screw the clarinet.
My sister and I played the piano, and it was Tiger Mom syndrome.
I started doing classical. And then I went to Garfield High School, which is where like Jimi Hendrix went. Yeah,
yeah.
It was
super diverse.
Yeah, it was 40. I think when I was going there, it was like 46% black, 36% white, 16% Asian.
Oh, wow.
And there was just so many different types of music around. So I think it was around sophomore year of high school that I started. I joined the blues club and started jamming and improvising there. Joined vocal jazz, did like musical theater. Went to Yale and did like a cappella. But also,
oh, you were in one of those groups.
I was.
Oh. I hope you were singing like just like that.
with hands clasped in front of my sternum. Yes.
And a bow tie and a striped shirt.
Yes. But at the same time, at nighttime with those same guys, like we were jamming out in the basement, playing the Beatles' White Album all the way through and, working on my improvisational chops that way. So.
Yeah, mention a thing you actually have coming up, getting back to the artivism on July 12th, not so much here in Portland, but up in Seattle. Can we talk about what you got going on there?
Yeah, so I'm working with an amazing spoken word artist, Sharon Nyree Williams, who is a Seattle Arts Commissioner. She
is very involved in Black Lives Matter, the chapter up there, and speaks her truth. So I'm basically her music director. So I'm kind of helping to create a sonic backdrop to her performance, which will be at the Neptune Theater on July 12th.
Oh, cool. Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's so cool because, you know, I remember seeing my first black person when I moved here at the age of 6 in Boston, right? And this is, of course, the time when I was also, as a part of school, asked to dress up as a colonist. We're today's colonist day.
Oh, my gosh.
I had britches and, like, a white blouse with, like, roughly,
Puritan hat.
Yeah, and so that was the space that I was growing up in. So, yeah, I remember seeing my first black person and being like, wow, that looks different from what I'm used to. I think in the capitalist society that we live in, there's a subconscious mission. I don't really, there are some people up at the top who are like, yeah, let's divide them. But I think in general for capitalism, it's profitable to divide and conquer.
For sure.
And so, yeah, I think the Rodney King riots in which the cops said, okay, like, we're going to protect Beverly Hills, but like, please, like, here are all these Korean businesses, like, take your anger out there. There's been a history of POC being pitted against each other. And so for me, having gone to Garfield and I guess really believing firmly in Black Lives Matter and making sure that that we're mending these artificial divisions and building bridges that we can use to unite and compel the society towards change, the better. And like I was saying with artivism, for me, this is also a really unique experience to collaborate with someone who is speaking a truth of oppression that I am outside of. But by involving myself and collaborating with her, I can learn from and share and exchange expression.
Yeah, it's such an important, I feel like an expression when it comes to art, as you were saying like earlier, to not just like create within that bubble and to hope that, you know, your bubble will somehow run into everybody else and that it will just naturally happen. Like, you need to actually go out and say like, hey, let's touch bubbles let's touch bubbles, you know, because otherwise the bubbles just float. Like, you know, that visual, they can just float, but you actually have to really bring things together, especially, you know, our API communities. Yeah. Like, we have such a history of wanting to be the model minority and like, you know, the younger generations now, I feel like we're really pushing against that.
And anti-blackness.
Like, yeah, let's talk about that. Yes. And let's talk about how that, you know, that's something that comes from Asia often and how like those attitudes persist. And then you come here to the United States and then capitalism goes like, oh, hey, let's use that to exploit one another and all that sort of stuff. You know, before we run out of time, can we hear another one?
Sure.
Last
thing I'll say is when bubbles touch, sometimes they it's scary, but it's good. And I think it takes that risk and that the vulnerability to lean into something and possibly make a mistake and be called out for it. Which then, you know, if the person is right and the energy, if the energy that you're giving out is right, then that I think should lead to mending.
And especially if we're uncomfortable about our relative privilege, you know, in comparison to somebody else, like, what can we do to kind of signal boost them, to carry water for them? And like, it's good that you're doing that. So
carry water for them.
I love this bath analogy we have going on of artivism and bubbles and water.
The bubbles.
Well, let's remind Joe again about reverb because we love that.
Oh yeah.
I kind
back
of
in the
wish
cave.
JY.
I kind of wish we did the whole interview with you in reverb.
Hey, as a singer, I appreciate the reverb. It's like, oh, this makes me feel awesome.
Great. This song is called Happy Song, and it's about growing up as a poor son of immigrants, but also finding joy in that. Because I think, obviously with basic survival needs met, and sometimes, you know, they were few and far between. There is still a way to find beauty in that moment. So.
Ooh, that's hot.
your dreams come true. La da 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 da. You would spend the night alone and cry to sleep upon the kitchen floor. La da 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 da. When I create, I regurgitate. I will masturbate literary criticisms in the tongue of a stranger. Everything I've heard, everything I've said, everything I've thought, the moment that passed us away from me, passed away from you, passed away from us, past the path to the swings in the back of my complex, singing to the heavens. Bring her home, Lord, hear us, deliver us, and purchase us a Benz assigned Jesus. If I could fly to you, I would. Wouldn't be giving up so soon. La da 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 da. Don't you worry about a thing. I'm here in your pocket too. La da 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 da. I dream of escaping this madness that surrounds us, confounds us, leaves us astounded and doubtful of love around us. When all I have to do is say hello. How are you? How does it feel? Is that so? Is that true for you too? Yes. All I do may not lead to success, but the days I digress, I am blessed as a guest to dance with the best of us, cry with the worst of us, and stretch like the octopus inside of us, in spite of us.
Just tuning in. That
was awesome.
That you're listening to Pacific Underground, and that was Joe Kai playing. What was the name of that one, Joe?
Happy Song.
Happy Song.
That it made me feel happy.
I know. It's like, oh, and even watching you do it, it's like, oh, look at all the joy coming out of that, man. That's nice.
Yeah, it was good.
Joy.
And yay. So we got a couple minutes here left with Joe. So give it all the socials. You can find Joe on Instagram, on Facebook, all the socials at Joe Kai. That's J-O-E-K-Y-E. And he's got stuff coming up on July 12th in Seattle.
Yep. And then July 27th, Portland.
Here in Portland. Oh,
yes.
He's back in
July
the game.
July 20th?
July 27th. That's July at 8:30 p.m. at the Jack London Review.
Yes.
Catherine Feeney is going to be opening for him.
Full trio. It's going to be a beautiful show. Yeah. Please come on out.
We get to see the video, awesome. The video premiere for which song?
For Woo-hoo. Stick on Me.
Stick on Me. Yeah. And then you'll also be playing stuff for Migrants.
Yes.
Your most recent album that you released in January here of 2018. And if people want to find that album, where can they find that?
At joekye.com, joekye.
Cool. Cool.
And is there an outdoor concert on July 20th?
Yes,
also
July 20th.
Sure.
It's the movies summer movies series. Oh. So
through Apano and the Portland Parks Department.
Yes, and the
shout out.
Yes, and Sound is Greater Than Silence, which is a mental health workshop that we're doing through Apano in September.
So. Okay. Awesome.
With so Unit Sozo. Yep.
Awesome. All right, collaborating with all the APIs.
Hey.
Yay.
Hey. All the peoples.
Good to see
all the people.
All the people.
We want to thank Joekye so much for coming in and doing some live looping this morning and
thank
talking
you so
about
much for
artivism
having me.
And sharing your American experience and what it is. We really appreciate it.
It's good to have these stories out.
Let's go, KBOO Community Radio.
Thanks for lifting.
Consciousness of the people.
Lifting the communities and all the good stuff. So, we really appreciate it. And talking about KBOO
and lifting communities.
Lifting communities.
And raising consciousness.
Yeah, we're gonna transition away a little bit here. So the Pacific Underground Collective would like to publicly show support for those in our KBOO community who are in want and in demand of needed systemic change here at our own community radio station. While there are individuals and individual volunteers and staff who have shown a support of addressing these issues, we feel that there is a pressing need for the KBOO community as a whole to express their views regarding the radical space we call our radio home. So in solidarity, we will now have a minute of dead air.
and thanks for tuning in to Pacific Underground on KBOO Portland, where it's creeping up on 10 o'clock, at which time we will bring you Valley Views about how to eat and enjoy a plant-based diet. We'll round out that hour, bringing us up to 11 o'clock. We'll bring that round out that hour with Flashpoints. Yes, with Dennis Bernstein. Take us up to 11 o'clock, at which time a Radio Geekly talks fan fiction. Call in and share your story ideas for popular characters. Plus, KBOO will be webcasting live from the Occupy Ice Portland encampment at 11:30 this morning with host Ken Jones. Check kboo.fm to listen live. All of these KBOO programs are made possible with the support of the members of the KBOO Foundation. For those passive listeners, we're looking for a way to rectify that oversight through which they have not yet successfully become members of the KBOO Foundation, active supporters. You can do it at kboo.fm, and you click where it says donate in little yellow letters, just for you. I promised you Valley Views, and I'm going to deliver on that right after I deliver you some important community announcements, so stay tuned.
Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, unless otherwise noted. The engineering committee has been rescheduled to July 11th at 7 p.m. Please join us.
First off, they'll say what it is, a festival.
Hey, folks, I want to tell you about the first annual Best of the Northwest Vernonia Springs Music Festival. It's going to take place on July 7th, 2018. KBOO is our co-sponsor, and our headliners are Lloyd Jones and Baby Gramps.
Sometimes known as Sourdough Dolly.
Let's do some hammer punch of that good old Mountain Dew.
www.vernoniasprings.com/VSMF. To learn more, go to kboo.fm.
And people think, he's so old, he squeaks. And I will prove that.
Look for the Vernonia Springs Music Festival.
And I'd like to convert it into a bedlam of jive. Can you dig it?